for the first message today, our pastor, Mr. LeBlanc.
Thank you, Jerry. Good to see everyone here today. We're a little bit crowded in this place, but I like a crowded room, you know. And my understanding is that Albert and Mary Beth have been married for, is it 34 years? Wonderful. Congratulations. Terrific. Were you married up in Canada? That's what I thought. Yes, and four boys later. Great blessing. You know, we tend to think of prophecy, and I think we make a mistake. I've made this mistake. Thinking about prophecy as a primary tool to take a look at what is going to happen at the time of the end. Clearly, what is going to happen at the time of the end is important, and I don't want to in any way disabuse that idea. But there's something else about prophecy which I think is so very important, which I want to focus on today. Prophecy within the prophets, we see the revealed character of God. You see what makes God angry, what makes God happy, why God does what he does. You see in prophecy that God can be incredibly patient, where he will warn a nation and wait literally decades, sometimes well over 100 years or more, for that nation to repent. That God's very responsive to repentance. Take a look at the book of Jonah. Jonah showcases the grace and the mercy of God. You go to the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Jeremiah showcases the character of God in terms of God warns, and he'll warn and warn and warn because he loves people, so he will warn. The book of Lamentations, which is probably, well, perhaps you could argue, I would argue this, it is the most brutal of all the prophets. People don't go to the book of Lamentations that often, but Lamentations basically is talking about extreme suffering, which includes extreme captivity, which would include suffering on a scale which is almost unfathomable, because in the book of Lamentations, you see literally where God allows a nation to suffer cannibalism. Because if extreme suffering is what it takes to bring a people to repentance, he will allow that. It's not that he takes any pleasure in that. But even in studying the book of Lamentations, you get a sense of God's willingness to allow people to suffer some pretty terrible things if that helps them to come to repentance. So we're going to be talking about prophecy today, a particular set of prophecies concerning Edom and the Edomites, and particularly the Amalekites, not so much from the standpoint of what is going to happen at the time of the end, though of course we'll talk about that, but from the fact that God hates the Edomites. Why does he hate Esau? So if you go to this passage in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, where it says, I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. If you take a look at the commentaries, often they will try to soften the blow by saying such things as, hate here means to love less. That's not what it means. Hate is hate. And this can even go to our Protestant evangelical roots when it comes to hatred, because in that world, they hate to showcase God as a God who hates. There's a time for hate, and there's a time to make war, and God is going to punish severely the Edomites at the time of the end. He doesn't enjoy the hatred, and again, the hatred that God has, which is a clean hatred, will lead toward repentance. That's one of the problems in our culture today. The right sense of hatred is not visible today. People don't, for the most part in our country, don't hate abortion, do they? They may be for or against, but they don't really hate it. People do not hate the selling and trafficking of drugs. They don't really hate it that much. People don't hate the fact that living together has, for the most part, replaced marriage in our country, where the decision to live together is more dominant than the number of marriages taking place, because they don't hate that. Now, living together is not God's way of doing things. So we are lacking in this nation this ability to hate in a proper way. Obviously, the sins that are involved. Of course, we want everyone to come to repentance, and I'm not advocating just a marked hostility toward people, because that should not be the case as well. We understand we love sinners, but we look toward them that they would repent. So why does God hate Esau? What does it have to do with what is going on in the Middle East today? Well, what's going on in the Middle East today is you are seeing the nation of Turkey. It has gone into parts of Syria to drive out the Kurds. I just want to talk a little bit about this today, because we have always taught in the church that Turkey, most Turks, not all who live in the nation of Turkey, were dealing with the descendants of Esau or the Edomites. And there's some ugly stories about these people, and you can begin to appreciate why God uses the expression, I hate them, and why he's going to destroy many of them. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, God commanded the slaughter of the Amalekites. The Amalekites are Edomites. They are a subset of the tribe of Edom. They're just one of the tribal elements of the Edomites or of Esau. And God was so angry with the Amalekites, he told King Saul to slaughter the Edomites. Now, I'm not going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, but Saul did not slaughter them. He allowed some of them to live, including, I believe it was King Agag, and God was very, very angry with him for allowing those people to live. They are poisonous people. They're despicable. They're murderers. They're idolaters. They're very destructive people. And God recognizes that reality and wants it to be dealt with, and he's going to deal with the issue at the time of the end. So we're talking about prophecy today, and I'll be focused to some degree on the little book of Obadiah, which most people don't take time to look at because it seems to be obscure. But once again, it emphasizes there is a time to hate, and God teaches us that if he hates something, we should understand why he hates what he hates. So what is this story? Let me go back into history, and I want to refresh your minds regarding this story. Because Erdogan, the leader of Turkey today, has gone into parts of Syria to kill many in the Kurdish community. Now, I know this gets tangled, and it's hard to follow all of this, but the Kurds were very significant in helping us destroy most of ISIS. I think most of you heard that Abubakar al-Baghdadi was killed here recently. He was the leader of ISIS. So that was a big blow, and American special forces were able to kill him. But it was the Kurds that actually did much of the heavy fighting against ISIS. But Turkey and the leader of Turkey, Erdogan, does not like the Kurds. There are about 30 to 34 million Kurds scattered all throughout the Middle East. And what we saw here recently is that President Trump, because of his decisions, allowed Turkey to go into southern Syria and to begin again, to be quite blunt, to slaughter some of the Kurds. Not quite sure why the president did this, except I think he just wants to begin to pull troops out of the Middle East. I think that is the motive. He's talked about that many times. Whether that's right or wrong in God's eyes, I'm not at the throne presence of God to make a comment on that, but I think the president has always emphasized he wants to pull America out of these wars in the Middle East. But you see that Edom figures significantly through the biblical narrative. Of all the enemies of God in the Bible, without any question, at the top of the heap stands this Edomite tribe from Esau, called the Amalekites. And so we believe many of these Amalekites reside in Turkey today. Some are in Iraq. They're scattered. And rabbis in Israel believe that many of these Palestinians in like the Gaza Strip and the West Bank are actually descended from Esau or the Amalekites. How true that is, we don't know. It could be true. So that topic is alive and well. If you go to the book of Genesis, and we're just going to go through this very quickly, Genesis chapter 25, prophecies there for a reason. not only to tell us what happens, but to give us insights into the mind of God and the ability to hate, because there is a time to hate. Sadly, in a Laodicean world, Laodiceans just lose that ability to have passionate emotions about certain subjects. Now, hatred's dangerous if used incorrectly. Okay, it has to be used correctly. Even you parents, in a way, you try to teach your children a proper hatred of certain behaviors and activities. So this is a subject to be handled with care, but it's part of God's personality, and he will destroy, ultimately, people who hate him. He will deal with these individuals. Okay, enough said. Just to remind you of the background story here, if you go to Genesis chapter 25, and you get a sense of the story here. Remember that when we take a look at Abraham, Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac, and Isaac had twins that were born to him through his wife Rebekah. I'm jumping into the story here, okay? In verse 24 of Genesis 25. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over. His name was called Esau, which literally means reddish. And if you take a look at verse 25, it's a reference to him. And Esau eventually became known as Edom. So Esau and Edom, you're dealing with the same person or people. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. So ever since that time, Esau, the Edomites, which would include the Amalekites, remember Amalek was a grandson of Esau. Ever since, we've seen in the Middle East a constant fighting among these people. Verse 27, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a different type of a man. It doesn't mean he was a weak man, but he dwelled in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So you start to have trouble here. In verse 30, we're just plainly told, Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And peppered all throughout the scripture, including major prophecies in the book of Jeremiah, Malachi, Obadiah, and elsewhere, even in the book of Daniel, are these stubborn, persistent scorpions called the Edomites. And they stand at the top of the pile of the people God hates because of their behavior, because of their character, because of their viciousness and their brutality, because of their idolatry and how they persecuted God's people, the Israelites, and will continue to do so and cause trouble right down to the time of the end. So they're more poisonous than the Philistines, more poisonous than the other Arab tribes, more poisonous than the Assyrians, more poisonous than the Egyptians or the Babylonians. And they're in the news again. So when you see Turkey in the news and they're taking major military action, it's worth paying attention to. It's not the most important world news event in the world, but you got the good old Edomites on the move. And who knows what they're doing? Probably hurting people. And remember, in verse 34, Jacob gave Esau bread, the stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright, and he was not blessed by God. So right away, we see here Esau doesn't value this wonderful birthright, which was of God. And the birthright was very special. So right away, God's not pleased with him. In verse 41, eventually a hatred builds. I'm in chapter 27 of Genesis now, chapter 27 of Genesis. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. Mike, I appreciate you putting up that map of Turkey. Feel free to keep that up there for a while I'm speaking. So appreciate Doc Waddle putting that up there. Good little map of where Turkey lies today. Remember, Turkey is predominantly Edomite. I'm digressing just a moment here, but if you take a look at the map, those of you who have a slightly different map here, but I actually like the map we have on Zoom a little bit better. You can see Turkey is at the crossroads of Europe, Asia, going into South Russia and the such, Tajikistan, then going on into Kazakhstan and places like that, and then, of course, the Middle East. So it's a bridge. It's a crossroads. It's incredibly important, though we don't spend a lot of time on it. Over 80 million Turks. Over 4 million Turks live in Germany today because they work in Germany. And that goes back years ago when Germany needed workers. So there's tension in Germany today between the Turks who live in Germany and your average German. Now, I don't know if you heard the speech. I don't want to put a burden on our sound crew, which are already doing so much, which we deeply appreciate. One of these days, we maybe show you just a clip of the leader of Turkey, Erdogan, giving a speech here just in the last couple of weeks, threatening Europe and saying to Europe, if you mistreat us, we're going to allow over 3 million refugees who are held within various camps within Turkey, Syrian refugees, refugees from Afghanistan and Iraq. We're going to allow these Middle East refugees to pour into your nations up in through Europe because the European Union right now is paying Turkey to keep those Middle East refugees in these various camps within Turkey. I don't know if you knew that. But the European Union paid Turkey well over 3 billion euros to do this. So Erdogan has threatened the European Union, saying, look, don't tell us what to do. Don't criticize the fact that we're killing Kurds now in Syria. Shut your mouth, or we're going to let go, and we're going to release the bottleneck of all these Arabs and Syrians and Middle East refugees who want to go on into Europe and begin to pour into European cities. This is going on right now. Very, very important story. Getting back to the biblical account in verse 41 of Genesis 27, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, once the days of the mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. So we see down through history this hatred that continues to this day. And the Turks don't particularly like Israel today, but the Turks don't really get along well with anyone. They don't really like the Iranians. They don't get along well with Egypt, though they're Sunni Muslim. They don't get along well with the rest of the Sunni world. They're kind of an independent people, very difficult to deal with. Let's go to Genesis 36 very quickly. Genesis 36. Just to make it clear, remember the Amalekites are the worst of the bunch, because Esau had all these children, and those Amalekites exist today. Verse 12, 36 and verse 12. As a matter of fact, many Israelis who are religious believe many of the leaders in these terrorist cells, including ISIS, are really Amalekites. That could be true. Hard to prove the DNA here, but could be true. And verse 12, now Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore him Amalek. Okay, and then you go to what is a pivotal prophecy, and let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25 to show God's hatred of these people. They were pagans. They brutalized and tortured and incredibly savage toward their enemies, particularly the Israelites. So you hurt God's people, and God doesn't take it lightly, all down through history, even to the time of the end. You should have killed those no good blank, blank scorpions at least by the time we get to 1 Samuel chapter 15. This was a great failing of King Saul. He didn't kill them. Okay, so let's go to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. Pick up the story. You can see why God is angry. So this is God speaking, working with Israel at the time, giving them various rules and regulations through Moses. In verse 17, this is important.
Deuteronomy 25 and verse 17. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear. I mean, you've got 2 to 3 million people moving through the Middle East trying to get to what we call Israel today. You know, you're always going to have stragglers. And the Amalekites attacked the rear element, which would have been what? The elderly, the sick, maybe people who had young children. I mean, they were terrorists back then. Terrorism goes all the way back to that, you see. So you can see what was taking place going all the way back many, many years ago in terms of the history of the Amalekites and the terrorist element. And verse 18, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Oh, you didn't fear God. Not a small thing in God's eyes. You attack my people? You know, there's an account where the Apostle Paul talks about Alexander the coppersmith, who did him great harm in one of Paul's epistles. And Paul says to God, remember Alexander the coppersmith, because he did me great harm. Right? God doesn't always have gentle gloves on. There's a time to deal with things. And verse 19, therefore it shall be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which your Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. Is God angry? Yeah, he's angry. You deal with the Amalekites. They were vicious. They were brutal. They attacked the weak. They were terrorists of that day. You can see the story as it unfolds. And again, I reference 1 Samuel 15. Then you go to the book of Esther, chapter 3 and verse 1. So why don't we go to Esther 3 and verse 1, many years later. By this time, the Israelite tribes had gone into captivity. So if you take a look at the book of Esther, you see again the Amalekites surface once again. And we see just how destructive they can be. Right after the book of Nehemiah, sometimes Esther kind of gets buried in there, hard to locate. Chapter 3 and verse 1, and after these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set him over the princes. So a major leader within that community at that time, within the kingdom of Persia at that time, was apparently this Amalekite who had risen in power. Now, Josephus says he was an Amalekite, okay? And Jewish history believes he was an Amalekite. Difficult to emphatically prove, but most likely he was. And remember, what did Haman want to do? Pure, blatant genocide, right? He wanted to kill all the Jews. He wanted to kill all the Jews at that time. This was before Adolf Hitler, but that spirit of Hitler existed back then. But you know the rest of the story. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, there's a whole section there about God is going to deal with these Amalekites at the time of the end. I'm going to deal with these people because they're evil and they're vicious. Okay? Well, let's go to the book of Obadiah. And we will see something else here. And there are other prophecies about these people at the time of the end. Now, let me remind you, and this was brought to my attention. I was just briefly talking to Mr. Carlson this week, and I'm glad he brought it to my attention. I totally forgot about this, which is a very significant fact. Back in the 1920s, the early 1920s, Turkey killed over 1 million Armenian Christians. It was a major genocide. And just recently, something was passed in the House of Representatives recognizing, I think this just happened a couple days ago, recognizing it was a true genocide. Over 1 million Armenians were brutalized, killed, and to this day it's a real, real hot topic within the Armenian community, because back then, what I was reading, there were only about 1.5 million Armenian Christians, and Turkey killed about 1 million of them. It's horrible. So if Turkey is predominantly Edomite, which we have always believed that, again, you see their violence, their brutality, and how they can do these terrible, terrible things. So we watch all of this in the news. Okay, just before the book of Jonah is Obadiah, a very short book. What is it talking about? It's talking about the judgment on Edom, which would include the Amalekites. It's end-time prophecy. In verse 10, it says, remember, verse 10 of Obadiah. Obadiah, it says, for violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. I'm not going to go through the whole book, okay, but most of it is end time related, but looking, reaching back to the past. So again and again in the prophets, you see God's anger towards these people who are particularly violent and brutal. So we would believe, not all, but many in the terrorist element who still are in Israel today are probably of the descendants of the Amalekites or Esau or Edom. And when you see Turkey on the move and Recep Erdogan killing people, don't be surprised. And we're told in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, and verse 41, that Edom figures into end-time prophecy when the king of the north moves down into the Middle East. So God will deal with these people once and for all. And there will come a time in verse 21 of Obadiah when the resurrected saints, those of you, you're going to be resurrected when Christ returns, or you will be changed into spirit upon his arrival. Verse 21, then Savior shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Right up to the time of the end, we, the resurrected saints, will deal with these people. Does God hate them? Yes. Not without cause. Now, some of them will come to repentance, and no doubt some will come to, I would hope, a deep repentance in the second resurrection. But there's a reason God continually mentions the arch enemy of the tribes of Israel and the arch enemy of Jesus Christ and of God the Father are these Edomites, these Amalekites who exist at the time of the end. So again, I'm being very repetitive here. So when you see Turkey on the move, you're dealing with a lot of Edomites and probably quite a few Amalekites as well. Wanted to cover that, it's in the news, and wanted to showcase God's character regarding the prophets, particularly the book of Obadiah. That's it, and we've got a split sermon coming from Mr. Carlson.